Keep on believing. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. The door will be opened. Hallelujah. Keep on praying in the Spirit at all times with all kinds of prayers. Keep on praying. Keep on pressing and keep on believing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, thank you again for your grace, for your mercy, for your goodness, for this day you've given us, Lord. For the family of God, for those of like precious faith. For this time, Lord, help us to keep our eyes upon you, Lord. Hallelujah. And open our hearts, Lord, to receive your word. Hallelujah. This day we thank you for all good things come from you, Father. Hallelujah. And that you are with us, Lord, just like you promised. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus said, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Hallelujah. God wants to share his kingdom with us. Isn't that amazing? Jesus came that we might have life, to reconcile us to the Father, that we would become the sons, the daughters of God. Amen. Joint heirs to the throne. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible says. Amen. That's what I believe. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. All of God's words are true. Hallelujah. So my mind has to cooperate and submit to the truth. Amen. And what may be true in reality, even in your spirit, well, your mind has to become one with your spirit in the Lord. Amen. We need a renewing of our minds, right? Transformation, metamorphosis, metamorpho. Hallelujah. So God is in the business of transforming, of changing. We can change habits, but we can't change our hearts. We have to trust the Lord and allow him access to do the work that only he can do. You know, we can, as some would say, turn over a new leaf, but that's not what we're here to do. We need to yield. We need to surrender to the Lord and give him permission to have his way in us. So when we come together, we're here, amen, as to seek the Lord and his will for us. Hallelujah. And again, Lord, we just thank you for the day you've given us. So we're continuing, by the way, to pray every night, 5 o'clock, 5 at 5. We want you to come out, join with us. If you can't be here in person, join us where you can, or set a time aside. We've got prayer agendas out on the table. We're continuing to press into the Lord. We need to see an awakening in America. Amen. We need revival in the church. And we've got a generation, amen, that needs the Lord. And so that's why we're seeking the Lord, because we need a move of God, amen, a sovereign move of God in this nation and in the church as well. And so it's time to wake up, amen, and only the Lord can revive us. No man can bring revival to you except the one man, Christ Jesus. Amen. So seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened. Amen. So we are in a time of travail, really, in the Spirit, birthing a move of the Spirit that we believe God wants to release in this nation. And there are pockets of revival breaking out, but we want to see the Northwest on fire for Jesus. Amen. Burning for Jesus. And so that's what we're doing, guys. This is why we're called. Amen. We are intercessors. We are a priesthood. Every one of us, if you're in Christ, you are an intercessor. You are to stand in the gap. Amen. So I want to encourage you to come out. And we have time to pray sometimes. We just stay open to however the Holy Spirit wants to lead. So, all right. Father, I thank you today for everyone that's come, that we're able to be here today. And Lord, I pray that you will direct me by your Holy Spirit. Give me what I need to say, how I need to say it. Help me to speak the language, Lord, of everyone here. That, Lord, we can connect on a spiritual level, Lord, that there'll be an impartation of revelation, Lord, that will bring transformation to hearts and minds. Lord, we want to become like you. And we're asking you, Lord, to change our hearts, change our minds, and, Lord, bring us into conformity to to your image in all things in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is kind of like a different topic that most of the time I'm a topical preacher. But I want to talk about something that I've never really focused on much. But I feel like it's a timely word. We need to hear it. We need to be aware of the situation we're in right now, what we're faced with, and the importance of the church waking up and realizing that we cannot conform to the norm of society. We are to have the Lord's heart and his ideas. Amen. Our minds are to be renewed and humbled and submitted to the mind of Christ. And so the title of the message today is The Present Danger of Socialism. And how many would agree with me that we're in a serious conflict right now? And really it's between the spiritual hosts of wickedness and those who follow Christ. It's actually a spiritual battle. Okay, some people, well, I don't want to get involved in politics or talk about those things, but yet that's exactly why we're here. We're to be salt and light, to be influencers. And the job must be done, first of all, in the spirit realm, amen? And then what happens in the spirit will be reflected outwardly in the natural. And so Ephesians 6:12 is instruction to Church of Ephesus, amen, by Paul the Apostle. To who? To the church, to you and I, is we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We need to establish that first and foremost, amen, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And therefore, verse 13, take up what? The whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. In other words, if you are not armored up, you will not be able to withstand. And there are many people that think they're standing when they've already fallen. They've been deceived by the enemy. He's captured their hearts and their minds. And having done all to stand, now, again, I want to talk about a very present danger that we are faced with, even in this nation. Socialism and communism are really philosophies of Satan. It's the religion of Satan. And Satan seeks to enslave mankind. And he wants to strip us of our individual freedoms. God gives you freedom to choose. He gives you a will to choose. Satan tries to control you, to intimidate you, to force you into compliance to what he wants. In socialism, the government takes ownership of the means of production with a focus on providing equity. Have you heard that word a lot lately? Equity of outcomes. In socialism, the government becomes all important and involved in every aspect of people's personal lives. Now, how many here have had to get a permit? If you're a contractor, you especially know about permits. And a permit means permission. You've got permission from the government to do something. Isn't it interesting that even in our so-called private property, you got to have a permit for this and a permit for that? In other words, they're saying, yeah, it's yours, but we tell you what to do with it. That's socialism. And it's already been pushed upon us to a degree that many of us have not even realized what's been happening. It's been like a slow boil. And our freedoms are being stripped away from us systematically. Amen. But the government, you know, basically wants to take the place of God. But in capitalism is an economic system in which there is private control and, guess what, ownership of property. How many know the Bible teaches ownership of property, private property? Huh? Genesis 1:29, very beginning, God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food." What did God do? He gave it to man. Remember in Joshua, in 24 and verse 13, "I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant." So in capitalism, there's a limited role of government, but in socialism, there's a heavy-handed control of government. So in America today, we're in the midst of a battle between really capitalism and socialism. And this is a recent USA Today poll of millennials, found that a majority, 58% of millennials, would prefer to live in a socialist nation than in a capitalist nation. So if that poll is accurate, it means that a majority of millennials are willing to relinquish their personal freedoms to the government for support and protection. Years ago, Winston Churchill said this about socialism, quote, "Socialism is the philosophy of failure." Churchill also said, "It is a philosophy of failure, the creed of ignorance, and the gospel of envy. You got something that I want, and you should give it to me. You have something I don't have. I should get it. Its inherent virtue is the equal sharing of misery." So if you check the historical track record of socialism, you're going to find it has never worked for the benefit of people. How many know God is a good God? He blesses people, amen? He's good to people. He's good to us. So socialism may appear on the surface to be good, but it's really satanic to the core. And socialism is at odds with the Christian faith. And ultimately, it seeks to control and destroy faith in God and the people as well, the people of faith. So our faith, we know, in the Lord Jesus Christ is based upon the authority of God. Amen? Genesis 1:1, in the very beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God's sovereign. Amen? So we believe that God exists as a believer, right? That he has revealed himself in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. That he lived and he died for our sins, rose again the third day, and is coming again to reign over all the earth. This is our faith. We believe that Jesus came to liberate mankind from slavery to sin and Satan, and to reconcile him back to God through his blood shed on the cross. Anybody heard of Karl Marx? He is the father of socialism. He considered religion of all kinds, and in particular Christianity, the opiate of the masses, a drug. He also believed in Charles Darwin's theory of evolution. No surprise. So according to Marx, there is no need for God. And the idea of God must be forcefully removed from the culture and society. Do we see that happening? Make no mistake about it, the goal of socialism is to remove God from our culture and from our society. From our country. Amen? So we are right now, and it is a spiritual battle and a fight for our freedom. And Ephesians 6:12 again says we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We need to understand the source of what we're seeing in the natural. And we need to deal with it on a spiritual level first. It doesn't mean that we don't involve ourselves in practical ways, amen, and doing what we can to make a difference in this world. But we need to see, first of all, a transformation of hearts. Man's heart must be changed, because you cannot legislate righteousness. You can force laws on people, but if their heart does not change, eventually it's going to collapse. What we need is an awakening. What we need is national salvation. We need our nation, amen, to return back to the God of our fathers. And so we know in 2 Corinthians 10:4, God has given us mighty weapons, amen, spiritual weapons. And they're not carnal of human origin, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. These are established places of security that the enemy has set up, sometimes within government, sometimes within our own hearts. If a person is sympathetic towards sin, then he's giving the enemy permission to dwell there, amen, in his life. And so we need to take our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. If you go to any socialist country today, you're going to find the persecution of Christians. And anyone else who does not esteem the government as sovereign. And yes, it's happening here in America. And if the church, hear me guys, if the church in America doesn't wake up and repent, and pray. This satanic socialist manifesto will continue to advance in our nation, and we're watching our freedoms disappear. And it's no time for us to slumber. We need to be vigilant. We need to be awake. We need to be watchful. We need to be prayerful. And we need to take responsibility over our own personal lives and make sure that our hearts are right with God, so that we can be in a position to be an influence for God, amen, in this world. Because socialism seeks to replace God with government. Dr. Martin Luther King, who said this, he said, quote, "No Christian can be a communist because communism leaves out God. It regards religion as wishful thinking and the product of fear and ignorance." So you're probably asking, well, what is the difference between communism and socialism? Is there a difference? Well, let me say this, quote, "Under communism, most property and economic resources are owned and controlled by the government." And that is actually the direction we're heading. Right now, we're more socialist, but it's heading into the place where it's going to be full communism. "You'll own nothing and be happy," someone once said. Under socialism, all citizens share equally in economic resources as allocated by a democratically elected government. So we elect leaders and then we give them all our resources and they decide who gets what. And everybody gets a fair share. Does that sound familiar? How many know that freedom is not a gift from the government? It is a gift of God, and that it is also stated in our Constitution that we were built on. So our personal freedoms come from God, not from government. And so if you think, and some people do, think communism or socialism is a good idea, consider this. Here's some statistics, all right, from history. 3 million people were slaughtered under Lenin from the former Soviet Union. Upwards to 60 million people were slaughtered by Stalin. 45 million people were butchered in just 4 years by Mao Zedong in China. Millions are being starved and slaughtered in the prison state that is now North Korea. Millions, right, were killed in the killing fields of Vietnam and Cambodia. And the current starvation, of course, of the people of Venezuela. And Venezuela had once been a beautiful country with great oil reserves, is now in chaos. The people are starving and they're trying to get out of there because of socialism. It never benefits the people. It only benefits those who are controlling things. So where there is no God, there's going to be chaos. There's going to be death. And there's going to be destruction. Jesus said this about Satan, and this is Satan's religion again. This socialism is communism. He said the thief does not come except to steal. You feel like you're being stolen from? To kill? To destroy. I have come that they may have life, though, he said, and that they may have it more abundantly. That's the Lord we serve. So as Christians, we hold that life is sacred, amen? From the womb to the tomb. Psalms 139:13. "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb." So as a Christian, we believe that we have been created for a purpose and that God has a plan for our lives. Do you believe that? That he knew you before you were born. But in socialism, you're just a part of the machine. You're just an expendable for the sake of the state and for the sake of the state's goals, which is ultimately power and control. Socialism always leads to misery, poverty, and death. And in Hosea 4:6, the Lord said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." So many of our youth already have been indoctrinated with socialism. And because of that, they somehow think it's a good idea. But we always see how it leads to a very miserable end. Jesus said in John 8:32, "You shall know the truth." You know what's real, and the truth shall make you free. You know, the Bible actually teaches the value of hard work. It teaches freedom, advancement, creativity, service, abundant life. That's what the Word of God teaches. Amen. This is a quote by a man named Gerald Smith. This appeared in the U.S. Congressional Record of 1958. Listen to what he said. Quote, "You cannot legislate the poor into freedom by legislating the wealthy out of freedom." You want me to read that again? "You cannot legislate the poor into freedom by legislating the wealthy out of freedom." One person receives without working for, another person must work for without receiving. That's socialism. The government cannot give anybody anything that the government does not first take from somebody else. When half of the people get the idea that they don't have to work because the other half is going to take care of them, and when the other half gets the idea that it does no good to work because somebody else is going to get what they work for, that, my friend, is the end of any nation. And the conclusion is, you cannot multiply wealth by dividing it. This is socialism. And he said this, socialism is stealing. Work is a privilege, not a curse. Did you know that? Man brought a curse on all creation, amen, including the ground. In Genesis 3:17, "Then to Adam he said, 'Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life.'" He didn't say cursed is work. He said cursed is the ground. "Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." So Adam was basically sentenced to earn his livelihood from ground that was cursed with thorns and thistles. Amen? How many have planted gardens? How many had to deal with the weeds? Right? How many have walked through the woods and got into some thorns? Right? So it is the toil, the perspiration, the weariness connected with work that is the curse. Remember, God gave man work before the fall in the very beginning, right? In Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. So how many here enjoy working in your garden? Yeah? So work should be enjoyable. Amen? Social welfare should be a safety net for those who cannot work, not a means to enable laziness or enslave people to the government. You've heard of the welfare state, where so many have been so used to getting everything from the government that they give the rights over as long as they get the free handout. And then they become a slave to the government. And that's not how we were formed as a nation. We were built on the foundation of the Word of God, the truth of Word of God. Amen. A man named Jack Graham said, "Socialism crushes generosity because no one ultimately has anything hardly to give. It crushes the soul. It crushes the innovation of a country and the creativity." If you think about it, most of these communist nations, what are we buying from Russia? What kind of goods do you see on the shelf made in Russia? Because they've been robbed of their creativity by replacing God with the government, and everybody looks to the government and everybody has the same. It doesn't matter how hard you work, everybody gets the same pay. So there's no incentive and no creativity. It shuts people down. And even in China, most of what the products that they produce are ideas that came from the free nations that they stole And they use because their creativity is not there because of the mindset that and the stronghold of socialism. Socialism suppresses the poor and steals from the rich. It legislates theft and elevates envy. So we need to wake up, America, right? And we need to wake up to the real dangers of this Marxism, because there is a real and serious conflict, again, between the spiritual hosts of wickedness and those who follow Christ. And Satan's design is to enslave every one of us in this nation and to rob us of our religious freedoms. Because Satan is a murderer and he's a thief who seeks for ways to destroy God's creation. God has given us powerful spiritual weapons to defeat the enemy. Again, in 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. We need to understand who we are in Christ, who He is in us, amen, and how He has empowered us, what He has given us to use to defeat the hosts of wickedness that would seek to conquer, amen, and to take over and control and oppress the people. How many know that God placed you and I strategically here in America to stand in the gap? Amen. We are to be the world changers. We are to be the salt. We are to be the light. We are to be the influencers on the government, not the other way around. And if we stay asleep, the enemy will continue in this direction, and we will wake up one day and see it's all gone. How many have been seeing what's going on and have been alarmed by what you see? So what are these weapons? Well, I'll tell you what it's not. It's not human reasoning. It's not willpower, human willpower, or cleverness, control, or even human persuasion. These things are not enough. Man by himself is not enough to confront what we're faced with in the spiritual realm. It's a spiritual battle, and we must be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit, and we must know how to use the weapons of our warfare. And what are our weapons? Well, first of all, we've been given the Word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. That's our offensive weapon. We also have the blood of Jesus Christ, amen, to cover as a defensive. And then we, of course, can invoke the name of Jesus. We can call on the name of the Lord. We can speak the name of Jesus, amen. So these are the weapons, the word, amen, the name, the blood of Jesus. And the means or ways of using these weapons are, number one, their prayer. Invoking God's divine influence in the earth realm. Petitioning the Father that He would send, amen, the awakening that we need. That He would send the grace, the help that we need. Amen. That He would intervene and that He would crush His enemies. We need to call in the kingdom reign of heaven in the earth realm through prayer and intercession. Amen. That's why we're gathering. That's why we're praying. And that's why we realize that time is of the essence. We have a window of opportunity right now. Amen. And I believe there is a spiritual momentum, hallelujah, that we need to stay the course. We need to continue to pray. Amen. And continue to believe that God's going to send a great awakening to America. God can save this nation. God can save our youth. Amen. And we need that move of God. Hallelujah. And we can utilize the praises of our God. Amen. As we sing and make praise to the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord will set spiritual ambushes in the spirit realm. Amen. He will crush Satan even through our prayer and through our praise. And of course, through the proclamation, the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. The sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. That defeats the lies of the enemy. The strongholds that people have in their minds that are they have been deceived into believing a lie as though it were true. When the Word of God enters, it brings light, it brings revelation, it brings sight so we can see clearly. Another weapon we have, or means of delivering of the weapon, is by speaking the blessing of God over our children and over one another. Did you know you can do that? You can bless others. Bless and don't curse. And of course, the word of our testimony. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Hallelujah. When we speak of what God has done in our lives, hallelujah, it brings that same grace into the now. Hallelujah, for somebody else to receive their freedom, their deliverance, their healing. God wants to bring salvation, healing, and deliverance to our nation. Amen? And He wants to work through us. He wants us to be vessels for Him. And we can't be that vessel for Him if we're not living for Him, if we're not walking with Him, if we're not right with Him, we can't be salt. We can't be an influence. Amen? So God is calling His people to repentance. He's calling us to change our minds, change direction. Amen? Quit loving the world and fall in love with Jesus all over again. Amen? Start loving the things of God and the things of the kingdom. Here we have no continuing city. Amen? But we look for one to come. Hallelujah. God has prepared something better for us. But while we're here, we're to be that influence as we represent the Lord as His ambassadors. Amen. Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, what? Go therefore and preach the gospel, right? To all the nations, hallelujah, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe what? Everything I taught you. We need to learn, well, what did Jesus teach the disciples? Amen. You need to learn and find out what that is so that we will also do likewise. And as He's prayed for His disciples, amen, He said, even for those who will believe on me through your testimony, that they also may do the same works that Jesus did. How many know God has made available to us everything we need that pertains to life and godliness? He's made available to us His Holy Spirit. God wants His people empowered. He wants us to tarry, to wait on the Lord until we are endued with power from on high. Come on, God wants us to be endued with His power so that we can have a supernatural boldness where we will not fear man, but we can be bold witnesses for Jesus. Amen? By the strength of the Lord. Ephesians 6, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the full armor of God, amen, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the schemings of the wicked one. Hallelujah. Because without the Lord, without the Holy Spirit, we're not capable of overcoming. Hallelujah. And it's unfortunate that so many today, even in Christendom, don't even understand the power that is available to them in Christ. Because they're not taught that. And so some people, they live all their life on the defensive. Just trying to cope, just trying to deal with it, just trying to get by, just trying to get through, just surviving. Amen? But God wants His people to be thriving. He wants us to be overcoming. He wants us to be advancing His kingdom agenda in the earth realm. And we do that by the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Not by might or power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Amen. And that's what we're called to do. And you can't do that in your strength, in your wisdom, in your cleverness. We need the wisdom of God. We need the strength of the Lord. Amen. The power of God is available to us if we will come and we will drink and drink deeply from the wells of Yeshua, from salvation. Amen. Don't just splash a little on you. Get immersed in the presence of God. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And you'll become another person. You'll be able to do things that you never could do before. Because it'll be God working in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Hallelujah. We need to be hungry. Amen? We need to get the junk food out. Because if you're satisfying yourself on the junk, you're not going to have a hunger for the authentic, for the real, for what God wants to give you. So we need to set ourselves apart for the Lord. And we need to commit ourselves. Every one of us needs to be committing ourselves now to the Lord and to His purposes, to stand in the gap on behalf of our nation, because it's going to affect all of us if we don't. It's encroaching upon us. God wants us, His people, to rise up now in this hour and to pray, to seek His face, and to turn from our wicked ways. And then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive your sins, and I will heal your land. God wants to heal America. God save America. God save America. God forgive our sins. Turn our nation back to you. Lord, wake us all up inside. Bring us to full flame for your name. Lord, we pray, hallelujah, that you will be merciful to us, Lord. That your church will be restored to wholeness, to effectiveness, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, forgive our sin. Heal our broken land. Turn this nation back to you. Father, we pray in Jesus' name that the fear of the Lord will come upon the church. And the fear of the Lord will come upon the Congress. The fear of the Lord will come upon the mayors over the cities and the governors over the states. And the fear of the Lord will come upon all the people, that we will turn to the only one that can save and deliver us. Our eyes are upon you, Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, let it be known today that you are God. Let it be known to everyone in this room that you are God. May your spirit break through, Lord. May your love break through the veil of every heart, that will be changed, will be converted, will be saved, will be set apart for you, will be empowered by you, and will be used of you as vessels in this world. Lord, make us strong in your might. Open doors of opportunity for each one of us, Lord, to reach out with that which you've shared with us, Lord, that we will share the love of God with others and the message of hope that we find in Jesus. Lord, in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.